When Elizabeth Zarkos was in college, she helped rescue a horse named Ginger. That led her to purchase Cleopatra from a feedlot. She knew then what she had to do. Today, she's the president of Hannah Ella Horse Rescue and Advocate. Hello, Elizabeth.
How are you, Don?
Doing well. I hope the same for you.
Yes.
Hannah Ella, is that, am I pronouncing that right?
It's actually Hannah Lee, like from Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oh, okay. Oh, the cave.
Yeah, in a land called Hannah Lee. Yep.
Hannah Lee.
Yeah. Yeah, just Hannah Lee. Yeah, I wanted something that would evoke kind of a more magical kind of concept, the idea that this isn't real life, this is something separate and something a little bit better than what we actually have in real life. So that's what my goal in creating.
Yeah, something to strive.
Exactly, yeah. Just an alternate reality where everything is good and everyone's happy and we're all doing the right thing.
So Hannah Lee takes a huge chunk of your time and energy. Why do it?
Well, two things. Number one, I think everyone should have at least one thing that they do to make the world a better place. I think that we should all strive to do something. You know, we're all here. We should be teachers. We should all find our, or whatever thing it is for me, that make everything, you know, better. And for me, when I rescued Cleo from the feedlot, I realized that there was indeed a need for a horse rescue and for advocates to stand up and to talk about horse slaughter and to try to end that in the United States. And since I didn't see a lot of other people doing that, I said, well, fine, I'll do it. And in doing that, you know, it's kind of really directed my life in a lot of ways. Just the people with whom I speak and that I'm around and my friends now. And also, you know, when I rescued Cleo, I ended up becoming a vegetarian. I started rescuing other types of feedlots. So it really has kind of changed how I look at the world. But, you know, I guess a lot of it also comes down to the fact that I think that dish horses are incredible beings and they have a great capacity for to help people. And I think that we're better people with them and that we owe them the same respect that they give us. And I think that's something that we should work towards, is trying to create a nice, safe sanctuary for them as well.
Yeah, we do get a lot of use out of those horses, all the way from therapy on up to just a Sunday ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everything in between.
I was going to say, yeah, just, you know, from the workhorses to the show horses to just our nice backyard to, you know, the companion horses who just hang out with us or hang out with their buddies. I mean, you know, they kind of run the gamut, but a lot of it, they all kind of do end up helping us, even if it's just kind of something pretty to look at.
Yeah. About your Mustang, what's his name?
Gypsy. He's probably around 10 right now. He was a wild-caught Mustang from the BLM and purchased when she was 3 years old. The BLM rounded up her family and, you know, auctioned him off. And she was purchased by a woman and her daughter who had gentled a Mustang previously, the mother did. And so they took her to their property, which was in San Diego County, but in reality, it's about a stone throw from Mexico, which there's nothing but dirt all around and a couple trees, but it's just so hot and dry. And they had a small house there with about 2 acres of a dried lake bed. And they had that all fenced off, and they put the horses in there. And when you first get a Mustang or a wild horse like that, they have the halter on them, and then they have like a 18-inch, 2-foot lead that they attach to the halter. And they spent about, you know, 3-4 months working with her and getting her to kind of follow them around a little bit and, you know, starting on the process of training her. And the father didn't understand kind of how that went, so he unclipped the lead rope from Gypsy. So of course she just she like left. she was in the you know 2 acres, but they couldn't catch her. And I didn't know any of this. All I knew is that the owner had posted on I think Craigslist that she had a horse who needed a home, and it was for free, and it was had somebody had to come take her. And I just emailed her saying, hey, just be careful that, you know, there's no killer buyers. That's, you know, killer buyers will pretty much do anything. And just be careful. And it was that, I thought that would be it. And so she emailed me back after a couple of weeks saying, hey, no one else has expressed any interest except for a few people who want to take her down to Mexico. And so, you know, probably either use for tripping, because they do that still, or, you know, just basically taking her to slaughter. And I said, okay. So I said, well, you know, we have room at the rescue. I said, we'll go ahead and take her then. And she says, oh, yeah, she's totally been trained, and we did all this stuff with her, and we led her around, and she, you know, can't really pick up her feet at all, but, you know, I think we put our saddle on her once, and I'm like, okay, well, fine, I've, you know, trained a horse before. No problem. Sounds like she's okay. You know, just my naivete. And so we went down there. And before we went down there, she says, hey, she's a little hard to catch. So, you know, bring some carrots. Okay, fine. Well, of course, I didn't know this. She hadn't been able to catch the horse in over 6 months, right, at all. In all of her attempts of going down there, she couldn't catch her. And so she's like, oh, yeah, she's a little hard to catch. Yeah. You know, now I can look back and I say, what are you thinking? But in any case, we get up there, and there are two husband and wife caretaker on the property, and we pull up, and they said, hey, we're here to get this horse. You know, so-and-so should have called and let you know. And she says, no, I don't know anything about it. And I said, all right, well, you know, let me see if I can get her on the phone. I don't really have any signal. It's in the middle of nowhere, but, well, maybe we can, you know. I said, I have papers here. I have paperwork. Everything should be legit. She says, well, hold on. Let me go talk to my husband, and we can hear their conversation, because it's only like 15 feet away. And then she said, well, they're here for the horse. Well, do they know what they're doing? I think so. Yeah, they're wearing gloves. You know, we'd put our gloves on. We're like, well, apparently if you wear gloves, you know what you're doing. And, you know, so he comes out and he says, yeah, we're at the horse over here. So, we're kind of confused, but that's fine. So we go over and, you know, there's no, you know, you try to kind of run her around, but it's too big. It's 2 acres. So there's no way you're going to run the horse to get him tired, right? Then we tried to sit down in the, you know, shade area and put some pellets or some food out so she would come up. And she'd come up so she could be about a foot from her, but there's no way you were going to catch her. And I don't lasso. I don't know anything about that. So I said, all right, this isn't going to work. And I was thinking, you know, we were there for, God, about 3 hours by that time. And it was 97 degrees, and, you know, it was just hotter than Hades. And I said, you know what, we'll try one more thing, and if it works, great. If it doesn't, so I don't really, you know, this is not my thing. I'm not a wild horse person. And I finally got on the hold with the owner. She says, well, can't you back the trailer up and just run her in it? Lady, if you could have done that, maybe you should have done that about 6 months ago. So... So I said, no, that's just not an option for me. I don't do that. You know, plus there's no chute or anything to do it. You know, there's no way to get her into an area. She'll just run by. So I said, all right, here's the deal. There's some trees and a chicken coop. So we took some lead ropes and some lunge lines and, some baling twine, and we set up like a mini corral around these trees and this chicken coop. And so it's kind of this small little corral, and it's kind of on this little incline, and where the baling twine was, I had the other person who's there, Lori, our volunteer. And, I said, you be the wall, because she probably can't see the baling twine. So I said, when the horse comes up over there, you know, I said, act big. She's like, what do you mean? I said, just put your hands up and wave her off. She doesn't, like, try to kill herself through the baling twine. And, you know, she's like, I'm not really comfortable doing this. I'm like, no, it'll be fine, you know, no problem. So I don't know why people listen to me, but she did it. So she was the wall. And it took me about 15 minutes. I finally chased her into this, like, mini corral. And then I worked her in there, just kind of running her around, and trying to basically round pin her is essentially what it came down to. And after about 45 minutes of Lori being a wall and me running around, she finally just said, all right, I'm done. This is stupid. I don't want to do this anymore. And she just walked up. She's like, fine, you win. She's licking and chewing. And I petted her and I clipped the lead rope on. Actually, I didn't have any lead ropes. I said, Lori, I need you to go untie the lead rope from one of the trees because I don't have one. And I need to clip it to her halter. And I said, just walk around me to the back here. So she kind of gently, you know, walked around to the back and I clipped the lead rope on. So now I have this horse, you know, in the middle of nowhere. And I said, okay, now I have to get her on the trailer. I said, oh, man, it's been 4 hours. It's going to take another 4 hours. What's going on? But, you know, she just walked in. She's like, all right, you win. That's fine. Whatever. You know what you're doing, obviously.
Yeah.
So I just popped her in, and that was it, and she came to our place. And I worked with her for several months. She is brilliant. She is so smart. She loves to eat everything. She loves cupcakes and baked goods, which, you know, they don't get a lot in the wild, right? She'll eat oatmeal off of a spoon. Like if one of our volunteers will bring oatmeal out, and she'll feed it to her. So she hates everyone though. Unless they have food, then you're her best friend for that second. But she hates everyone but me. She goes up, she pins her ears at them, and she, you know, threatens to kick them, and she'll cock a foot at them, and she'll swish her tail. And she gets really aggressive. And then when I woke up, she's like, hey, what's up? I'm all really happy. She's like, hey, yeah, well, you know, they didn't spend 4 hours trying to catch me. You know, yeah. Like I didn't submit to them. I submitted to you. Come on. So, you know, after I tried to adopt her out for several years, but no one wanted to come out and kind of get to know her. And I said, you know, you have to, this is a horse who's never been hurt. You know, she's wary, but she's really, except for the time when they rounded up her family, she's never really been hurt. You know, nobody's ever smacked her, beat her, or whipped her. So she's just very, you know, hesitant. But as long as you don't hurt her, then she'll kind of do whatever you ask. You know, and she's like, I don't think this is a good idea. And I'll say, no, it's a good idea. She's like, no, I really don't think this is a good idea. I'm like, no, it's a good idea. You know, really. And she's like, all right, for the record, I want to say, I think walking down the street next to that leaf blower is a stupid idea. I want to be on the record for it. I'm going to do it, but I want to tell you it's a stupid idea. So she'll do it, you know, but she will, you know, and as long as you are, you know, also very consistent with her, like I can't let her get away with anything. So if she says, no, I don't want to be standing next to you anymore after I told her to stand there, she just walks away, I have to immediately say, no, you get your little tuchus back here. And she'd be like, oh, I thought the rules had changed. No, the rules are the same. Okay, I was just making sure. So she kind of always tests the boundaries a little bit. And as long as someone who had wanted to come out and was aware of that and was willing to work with her, I was fine with adopting her out because at that time, I, you know, like, whatever, find a good home. But, you know, nobody wanted to put in that time, and I was just so afraid she was going to have somebody try to, you know, be aggressive with her. So I finally just said, all right, Gypsy, you know, I'll adopt you. And she had, even after several years with us, she had been just kind of, you know, a little off-standish. And I swear, within, you know, like, 2 days of me making that decision, all of a sudden she was all sweet on me and nudging me and like, hey, what's up? I'm like, all right. You're just happy that I'm paying your bills every month.
You were just afraid she was going to go with someone who wouldn't put up with her. That was the truth of it, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. She's like, you know, she's not a princess. We have a princess. She's the queen, right?
Yeah. Did she vet check?
What?
Did she vet? Did you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, the vet will come out and she trots out sound and everything, and that's fine. The vet can't touch her, though. I actually had one of the vets try, and after about 15 minutes, you know, where it was dangerous for both of us, she said, that's a bad idea. She did actually, she was sedated. She had an oral sedation and we were getting her teeth done and the vet wanted a little bit more. So we thought, okay, it'll be okay because she's already a little bit sedated. And we were trying to give her some more sedation, you know, as an IV. And gypsy threw her head and clocked me, and I got one of the worst concussions I've ever had. She's just like, no, and smacked me in the head. But no, I have the vet there, and then they can witness it, but I have to give them the shot, because there's no way they can get close to her. Like, you can pet her, but if she just kind of knows that you're there to do something to her, and then she's like, nope, stay away from me. So, but she's actually taught three geldings that we have next to her, and she taught them how to poop. I know that sounds weird, but Mustangs, you know, they put poop kind of, they ring their area with their manure.
Yes.
And all three of these guys had been show horses, and they were filthy, and it was always disgusting to clean their stall. And within 2 weeks of her being there, they were all pooping in a straight line all across the back of their stall.
So, staking their ground.
Yeah, so I volunteered saying, can you come over to my barn and just have her there and have her teach all of the horses where to go to the bathroom? Just rent her out for the week. But, no, that's, anyway, so she is now with me forever, you know, and I think when I finally, you know, made the decision, she's like, dude, I made that decision like 5 years ago.
Yeah,
I don't know
right.
what your problem is, why you took so long to get on board, but.
Yeah, people.
But that's, anyway, so she's lovely. I taught her, she's so smart that I taught her hand signals. So when I'm in the arena with her, I don't have to use a whip. I just use just signals in my hand, and she knows walk, trot, canter, stop, faster, slower. And it's just a very small movements with my hands, and she can see those and respond accordingly. So it's kind of fun to move her about, and everyone's like, oh my God, she does that. Yeah. I'm like, she's really smart.
Yeah. Elizabeth. When did you become an advocate?
I think I really became an advocate when I got Cleo from the feedlot. I bought her on Wednesday, and the rest of the horses went up to slaughter on Friday, and I was not aware that horse slaughter was a thing. When I was growing up, I always heard of the glue factory, but I thought that was for old horses, and I didn't really understand that they were killed terribly. And when I realized what horse slaughter was, that was kind of it. And that was what Honnelly grew out of. And that's why we're a little bit more focused on advocacy maybe than some other rescues, is because that's why we're around, is because our goal is to advocate for these horses and to try to make their world better. So after reading about horse slaughter, and then, of course, about soaring and about the BLM and about, you know, about other issues, I said, you know, we really need to make sure that we educate other people about the issues that are going on.
Yeah. Quite a thing to take on.
Yeah, it's
at least it is from my side of the fence.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, when you're younger, you have a lot more energy. And it's, you know, and in my brain, when I didn't have 12, 13 horses to feed every day, it was a little bit easier in my brain. And I, you know, I honestly, you know, very naive, I thought if everyone knew what was going on, it would stop, right? The only issue was that people didn't know. So, hey, there's this cool thing called the internet coming around. And as soon as we put this out on the internet, people will read about it, and then it'll stop. And here we are, 2017.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that I said, I'm gonna spend 40 to 60 hours a week on this. It was just, this really needs to be done, and it kind of grew out from there.
Yeah. Yeah, I suspect that. How long have you? Oh, wait a minute. You went back to when you purchased Cleopatra. That was quite a while ago, huh?
Yeah, that was 1999, May 29th, 1999. I bought her, and I bought her for $750 from the feedlot, which is her meat price. And I had to give money to another rescue, True Innocence Equine Rescue. And, of course, I don't know them from Adam. And I have this terrible picture of her that they had snapped. And there was another advocacy group. And they weren't really an advocacy group. They were actually just taking horses off the feedlot. And it was an Arabian group. And they, for some reason, they didn't take a picture of her. They just, I don't know why. But so the Gail at Tier took a picture of her, and it was this random picture of her just kind of looking back at her. And she said, hey, there's this horse. And so I called her, and we made arrangements, and I cut her a check, and And then as I was, she was dry, because the guy at the feedlot wouldn't deal with people anymore. They would only deal with a few of the rescues because he had people chaining themselves to his fence and, you know, protesting outside of his area. And he didn't want to deal with that. So she said, you know, I'll take the money, I'll buy the horse, and then you really can't have the horse because she has been quarantined because she's exposed to strangles, so I'll put her at this other lady's house. And, you know, as I'm walking away from my $750, I'm thinking, this is a scam. Yeah. I'm never going to see my money again. And there is no horse. And it actually turned out exactly as she said, but I just, you know, I thought about it. I'm like, yeah, that's really stupid of me to do. But that was my rent for the month. I didn't eat for a few weeks very much because I spent my rent on her instead. But I really, for some reason, I just saw her picture and I just knew that she was supposed to be with me. So that was kind of how I got her. And she is the hardest horse, or she was the hardest horse I'd ever worked with. Essentially, almost every horse we have out here the way I'm able to work with them is because she taught me how to deal with the worst horse ever. Part of it was because I didn't have a lot of training myself to deal with that type of horse and that level of horse. And part of it was just, she was hard. Everything about her was difficult, but I loved her to death. She was, you know, I know people throw around words like soulmates with horses, but, you know, we had an amazing connection that I've never experienced with any other animal. And I was very lucky to have known her for the time that I did.
Did you make at that time, or somewhere in between, did you make a conscious decision? I mean, did you just draw the line and decide that you were going to advocate, or did you just, is it something that you just kind of got into, you know, along the way?
It was kind of just obvious for me. I guess obvious is a bad word, but I saw this was inappropriate. This shouldn't be happening, and I needed to speak up. There wasn't really a conscious decision of who should I speak to. It was just, no, this is wrong. This is, yeah. And I was kind of like yelling to everybody until my mom said, I don't want to hear about the word slaughter anymore. I said, but Mom, she said, I hear you. I understand. Don't say that anymore. So it really was in the conscious, you know, it wasn't halfway. It was, this is wrong and we need to stand up against it.
And you have since then.
I've tried. Yeah. I've tried to do my best in trying to get advocates and allies on our side. And I think the one nice thing about horses is it's bipartisan, and it really brings a lot of people together. And I think that that's one of the wonderful things about them, is that almost everyone can agree that we need to help them out and that they make our lives better.
Yeah. Yeah, I've also found in the past that whenever I'm dealing with anyone who has anything to do with horses, it just goes well. I mean, the people and the atmosphere and the just the being there with horses and people who care about horses, it just brightens the day. And then I walk out of there and I get a traffic ticket, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm back in that again, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, my few minutes there on the ranch was worth whatever happens after I leave.
Yeah, the horses, they really force us to live in the present, because that's where they are. They're here now.
Yeah.
And I think that that's one of the gifts that they give to us, is they force us out of our little heads and make us deal with the now. And yeah, and sometimes that time at the ranch does have to carry over into into the rest of the world. You know, we just have to remember them. I have actually, if I have a bad day, I have so many horse pictures on my phone. But if I have a bad day, I just pull my phone out and I look at pictures of them. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna be there in a few hours. It'll be okay.
Yeah. Elizabeth, thank you for what you have done and what you are doing for the wild horses. The Hanalea website is loaded with important information, valuable and important information. Give it a look. Good day.
Thank you so much, Don.